Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and man, the anti-Kaname Date crowd is really going through it this week, huh? And with me, I have...
You know, instead of paying 12 grand to be Gene Simmons' roadie, pay us 12 grand each. Because we deserve it!
And...
Chris Lynch's nomination, you managed to chastise even more with this new trailer. And I gotta make sure when he no lawnmowers won't start and run over your face. And also check your glass for any broken glass you drink.
Never drive behind a log truck. Ever.
Look, I already knew family gatherings were horrifying in ways incomprehensible to mere mortals. But thank you, movies, for making it even worse.
Yeah. Especially the trampoline, the fucking trampoline. Like, who bounced that low? You know, got fucking brakes and all that. You can't clean up after that shit.
I don't know. Maybe if you're like one of those weirdos who's trying to see how high you can bounce.
These movies are like Jurassic Park. Nature always finds a way to horrify people.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I'm probably going to go see it anyways. Like, slight bit of real talk, though. I was told this was going to happen, but I'm very happy to have visual confirmation that they got Tony Todd in for one last one of these before he died.
Yeah.
He's always really good in, like, whatever shows up in one of these. Also means you got to be paying attention to, like, lore and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, this isn't a Final Destination podcast.
And it never will be.
Yet. Oh, come on, Alex!
We don't have the time to dive into that lore.
Maybe you don't, but I'm built different, i.e. wrong. But, fine, I guess we'll do a music podcast. This is episode 388, How's everyone been doing the past week?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh boy.
It's been terrible and miserable, and my AC unit is still not working.
Okay.
We called a guy out to see what's wrong with it, and it's the fan motor. And he said, best I could do is 2 to 3 days. It's been 80 degrees all weekend.
Yeah, good lord.
So yeah, I am fucking miserable between that and work trying to fucking kill me again. Also, if I sound a little bit different, that's because I am on location. I am in my living room. I'm in between a box fan and an open window, and I have just a pair of earbuds with a microphone attached to it. So if I sound crappy or different or whatever, that would be why. Because I am not staying in that closed up space where it's no ventilation, just to sound a little bit better. But yeah, hopefully by next week this will all be over with and I can finally enjoy cool air, because I fucking need it. I need a break of so many things. Like, God.
That's a mood.
Yeah.
Just gotta survive until May. At least on my end. So I got a vacation. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, my week has been, as usual, it's just been a lot because let's say a certain thing came and it's been killing us. Especially me, because people doing this one thing over on top of everything else, which can tire me out. Which, that's no fun. Granted, I got more hours, so that's a good thing. But it's like, well, you get more hours, but you want to go home. But you get more money.
That's what they call a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
And on a lighter note, saw a movie today. Well, a movie on Netflix. Well, one that's new, but it just came to Netflix because it released in theaters 2 months ago. So yeah, you remember that the Kiki Palmer Scissor movie that we kind of talked about?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, in case we didn't say shit about it, it's called One of Them Days. Pretty funny. Yeah, I liked it. Very funny. It's like a buddy comedy and antics and shit, like kind of like, all right, and of course, like Kiki Palmer Scissor Dude make a good team. Like, I thought they're pretty funny.
Good to know.
Yeah, like I said, on Netflix now, which I will say this, we'll say it's strange, but given now, like, stuff gets released on streaming platforms, being shorter than usual, it's not surprising anymore.
Oh, Netflix. Anyway, as for me, well, mainly just watching a lot of TV and stuff, so I decided to click on a show that popped up on my Netflix page on a whim, one that I didn't watch when it was new, but I figured, might as well, I don't have anything else going on at the moment. So I decided to sit through the first season of AP Bio.
That was a show.
For those that don't remember, that is the, I think it was an NBC sitcom, takes place at a high school, Patton Oswalt is the principal, Dennis from Always Sunny is a teacher. It is, that first season at least is, well, it's certainly derivative. Like, I think based on some of the casting decisions, I mean, it is Glenn Howerton after all producing and starring. It's funny in pretty much exactly the ways you're probably expecting. I mean, it's not unfunny, but like, there's not a lot of surprises there. Like, it might as well be an Always Sunny AU. Like, this is probably where Dennis was for that stretch of time that he bailed after the end of, like, I think it was season 12 or 13.
I think that's somewhere around that. I'm pretty sure that was when he left to do AP Bio and other things. So, yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So, what I'm hearing is, like, it ain't ha ha funny, but it's like, it's so, like, you get the job done. It's like, you're a good 7 out of 10. Kind of.
Yeah, it's your typical first season of a sitcom, like, working out the kinks. I'm pretty sure if I watch through to season two, they'll have, like, a tighter grasp on things, although I will admit, the episode of season one revolving around, like, a pig dissection demonstration is probably the funniest so far, just because it revolves around... So, like, the actual AP Bio class itself has, like, a lot of very strange students, and I'd say most of them get, like, a dedicated episode to them. And that one revolves around a student named Heather who's like, how do I put this? Imagine if Amy Farrah Fowler from The Big Bang Theory was actually funny. Like, she's kind of like this soft-spoken nerd archetype, but she says some of the most out-of-pocket shit. Like I said.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, I mean, it's your, like I said, typical first sitcom season. You could see the potential. There's obviously still, like, cracks to work through, but at some point I'll get to the other seasons, I'm sure. Also, speaking of television, Common Side Effects Season 1 over, and Season 2 confirmed? Fuck yeah! Looks like I'm staying alive for another few years. Seriously, you have no idea. You need to be watching this, people! It's so good! It's peak television!
Hopefully when I get Max sometime this week, it might happen. Because I'm planning on getting Max for that and another thing, which we'll get to later.
Yes, later. But, yeah, good stuff. But now it's time to move on from those intro formalities to the usual weekly business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week, of which there's actually a substantial handful for the first time in a while. So it's not like I need two hands to count the number of songs we got. Thank God. I didn't know how much more of a drought I could take. So, yeah, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, all that jazz. And, as a matter of fact, Mark, you want to get the ball rolling with this first song?
Oh, sure. So, okay, okay, Little Sims. So, she's been doing some projects here and there. Last time I remember her is I think Waveform 24. I want to say, okay, so apparently she has a new album coming out, Lotus, Fallout 2022's No Thank You, which I remember, like, I know she had a lot of albums back then, because I had them all, just like, I can't remember the title of that last album. It was around, but it was the last album. But anyway, she got a new. Anyway, she released a couple of singles. Like, first one she got was Flood, but on here she got a track called Free. Okay, and I will say, like, the song sounds very, like, kind of like very, you know, very like. Very soft, emotional, like very, like like wishing that the love is free. Basically, words like you know, I think love is forgiving yourself. I think love is defending your immediate health. I think love is everything. Like basically, all that, basically, you know, of being free. Like, you know, basically, like expressing yourself, like under pressure, under love, all of that shit is like. It sounds like that very, you know, kind of heartfelt, emotional, but blunt. Kind of true, got these used to win here, which I thought, okay, this is kind of good. I can definitely do it. It's a good track. I can definitely rock with this.
Yeah, not much to add, but yeah, it's got a really pretty beat to it. I can vibe with it. Moving on to the next track here. So, a while back, we brought up the group Model Actress. Set to drop their second studio album, Pirouette, on May 2nd. We talked about the lead single, Cinderella. Now we have single number two here called Doves. And It Wastes No Time Getting Started. You have this kind of, you know, again, a similar sort of driving, thumping beat with, like, the 16-note hi-hats. Kind of general driving, you know, grooving bass. And of course, some of the more industrial accentuations with, like, that kind of, like, scraping, metallic, guitar-esque sound. The mood is very, you know, dark, gothic nightclub type of thing. The song kind of ebbing and flowing between those thumping verses and some slightly more ambient choruses, but of course the vocals are very breathy and wistful in their performance, with a lot of those scraping synthetic textures continuing to build onto each other. This is definitely scratching a particular itch of mine as far as post-punk and industrial, so I am of course still on lock for May 2nd.
I'm pretty sure the intention here was to sound very confined and claustrophobic with the kind of off-kilter lyrical flow and the pulse-pounding beat, so good on them for accomplishing it here. I, too, want to get out of this giant box of hell that I'm in right now.
Don't we all? Moving on to the next track here, so as we know, Rico Nasty is set to drop her newest album, Lethal, on May 16th. Huh, three May releases we talked about so far. I wonder if it's going to be a pattern. Yeah. And as we've already heard, you know, Teat Sucker times three, yeah. I hope I got that formatting right. And, of course, we got the newest single here from this album, which, as a reminder, thanks to Mark letting us know, is apparently her Fueled by Ramen debut. Still a weird sentence to say out loud. Anyway,
yeah.
The song is called On the Low, and whereas the last single was more of, like, you know, pure aggression, you know, angry hot girl shit, this one is more, this is kind of veering into more her pop side of things, which, you know, she's done before. I think she described it as kind of like a song for the ladies, in a sense, and, so her flow on here is obviously more of this kind of melodious, sing-songy type of thing. You got more of this sugary, sweet, synth-driven production. I assume it's probably about hooking up with a lady, you know, if that's a thing, you know, obviously go for it. But, I mean, as a song, like, it's alright. Like, okay, I feel like, I forget if I've mentioned this, but, like, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I really liked, you know, the song iPhone. But then again, that had the advantage of some 100 Gex adjacent production, and I feel like this one doesn't have that, which kind of undercuts the pop appeal for me a bit. Like, if you're gonna go pop, go hyper pop, you know? Gex! All the Gex!
Yeah, this one's kind of, it's okay! It's like, okay. I get the poppiness of it. Well, not too poppy of it. But it's like, you know, it's like, I want to say maybe on on brand with the Fuma Ramen thing, but yeah, it might be better than what I usually hear from you about it. But I don't know. Like, it's still okay. It's the definition of it's it's fine.
Eh, fair enough. I guess they can't all be singers. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, which this section is sponsored by Olipop. Actually, yep. It would be pretty sweet if we could get, like, an Olipop sponsorship. Like, I don't know if any of y'all have tried that, but that shit is surprisingly tasty for what it is. Personally, I'm a big fan of the cherry cola flavor myself. Robert at CerebralResolution.com. Come on! Sorry, Anyway, so, yeah, Kelly Uchis. Last time we heard from her was the album, I believe it was called Orchideas. And, now she's got a new album coming out, May 9th, Jesus Christ, that's like 5 May releases in a row, called Sincerely. I forgot to note down if we missed a single or something, but either way, we have a single here to talk about called Sunshine and Rain, which, first of all, I would like to say that I am looking respectfully. If you've seen the music video, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, so, the song itself, like, the music here is this very, like, slow, delicate ballad with this kind of sparse drum shuffle and a lot of organ synths in the background, with the lyrics being, you know, kind of typical love song material about finding the exact right person that makes life worth living through the best and worst of it. You know, through the sunshine and the rain, the best of times, the worst of times. Sponsored by Olipop. And, I mean, it's alright, like, it sounds good for what it is. Like, the sentiment is very sweet. Kali Uchis is a solid enough performer, and again, looking respectfully. I'm not, like, the biggest, like, you know, Kali Uchis stan or anything, but, you know, it's a pleasant listen. I'll give it credit for what it is.
I ain't got much to say. Sounds a good listen. I could definitely vibe with it. In the video, yes, what he said, and it's a bunch of, like, what a name, like, puns, like, here's Breezy, what a girl names, like, here's Breezy Lynn, or whatever the hell, what the puns, expect that.
Yeah. Now, moving on to the next track here, so a while back, like a real while back, we had some new material from Kesha with a song titled Joyride, which kind of left a very odd and mixed impression on a lot of people, not just us.
Yeah.
But it looks like that single wasn't just a one-off, as it looks like she has her newest studio album set for July 4th.
Oh, wow.
So not a May release. Instead, Happy Birthday America, I guess.
You know, you don't deserve it. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So the album title... Oh, good lord. That's actually what she's calling it. yeah. If I have to... I think it was Tom Bryan who wrote the Stereo Gum piece we have in the article. Who's like... This fucking title's a bitch. It's literally... Period. And then space... parentheses, period in all caps. And apparently that's also a motif for the song titles, which are all stylized with periods at the end. All caps. Giddy. Look, I'm sorry, sometimes y'all gotta just, like, cool it with the stylization. Like, I'm trying to remember what album it was where every song title... Like, that fucking... Yeah, it was that Bring Me the Horizon album last year where, like, every song title was alternating caps like that fucking SpongeBob meme. God, that was stupid. But, anyway, to commemorate the announcement, we have a new single announced called Yippee-Ki-Yay, which has guest vocals courtesy of T-Pain.
Ooh.
And, if you're wondering about, like, the beat, first of all, it's kind of a mix of this very, like, minimal acoustic guitar with this kind of stomp, clap, country, percussive rhythm type of thing. Of course, the lyrics are very, you know, all about getting rowdy and partying in a very, country-fried sort of way. Bonfires, cheap gasoline, two-stepping to Cowboy Street for cheap booze, shopping at a Dollar Tree at a sale, fucking, there's a joke about 10IC, I don't know, I get the intent lyrically, and this is a Kesha's first foray into country-adjacent music, remember Timber, but, like, I feel like this is gonna be a yeehaw banger. It should probably lean more into the country stuff, because here it's just kind of, like, a mild sonic texture, and it doesn't, and it feels very restrained, like, this shit's got a bang, it's got a slap, it's gotta be the type of shit you turn up to 12 at the hoedown and or hootenanny. No, I don't know the difference, and it has been explained to me multiple times. And also, T-Pain's kind of, he's there. Yeah, I got nothing else. I feel like the song isn't firing on all the cylinders. It ought to be like, you ain't got enough pecans in your pie, Kesha. Wait, what does that actually mean? I don't fucking know. I'm just saying words now.
Okay, I gotta bring out a very bad line. Hella smooth like Miller Lite. Look, I'm glad she has full creative control and everything, but I just cannot get past corny lines like that. And yeah, I know it's meant to be just a fun country pop song and all, but there's a way to arrange all that without sounding like trend chasing. And yes, T-Pain is certainly there.
Yes.
What they said. Also, the Dollar Tree. It used to be Dollar Tree, now it's just Dollar 25 Tree, or in this case, Dollar 50 Tree, because they fucking raised their fucking Ocean Spray drinks to Dollar 50 for some fucking reason, even though they barely got the damn things anymore. And, you know,
we used to be a real society.
Oh man, you mean I gotta pay $1.50 for fucking Faygo now? This is bullshit! How am I supposed to live my fantasies of being Gamzee Macara from Homestuck?
We used to be a real society with real values. Now it's all bought up by private equity, just sinking its way to the bottom.
So the moral of the lesson here is, Joyride too hot, Yippee-ki-yay too cold. Please tell me we'll get Just Right soon.
This is too hot. This is too cold. Would this be right? I don't know. Can you mix them both?
Maybe they'll cancel each other out into something.
Well, you know what they say. Two wrongs don't make a right, and two rights don't make a left. Two lefts make, something. I don't know.
We'll have to experiment and see. Anyway, moving on from that to the next track here. So, it's been a few months since the initial peaks of Linkin Park's reunion and all the discourse surrounding it, ultimately culminating in the release of the studio album From Zero, their first with new vocalist, Emily Armstrong. And now it looks like there is a deluxe edition dropping, you guessed it, May 16th. Guys, a lot of shit happening in May. I gotta check what that release calendar is gonna look like. So, yeah, deluxe edition of From Zero. I think there's like three new songs on it. I was reading correctly.
Yeah, three new songs and some live songs.
Alright, that makes sense. And we got one of those new cuts here called Up From The Bottom, which is one of the Linkin Park songs of all time. It's a pretty steady mid-tempo, ready-for-radio rock jam. Yeah, plenty of DJ record scratches popping up in spots alongside synths. You know, it's kind of accentuate all the riffs and the verses and everything. Emily's got, you know, she's a solid singer. Part of me is still needing to, like, check out Dead Sarah just to see, like, the full context of where she's coming from. But what she's doing here is pretty solid, you know, pretty good sense of melody and gruffness. And Mike Shinoda is still Mike Shinoda. I don't really have much else to add in terms of perspective on all that. It is an okay song.
Yes, I will concur. It is an okay song. And it was a song that was being promoted as the best song they've ever made. No. The Little Things Give You Away is the best song Linkin Park ever made. I mean, I've listened to this song, and it's fine. It's serviceable, it's palatable, but all-time greatest song? No, not really. I think this is a lesson that they need to learn. It's fine to be just okay and not try to reach the unattainable heights of this is the greatest thing we've done and the best lineup ever and the most perfect what we were always meant to be kind of deal and philosophy. Maybe then they wouldn't be having ticket sale issues and wouldn't have to reschedule their show at Dodger Stadium to the Intuit Dome. I'm just saying. And those two Brazil shows that they had in November mysteriously vanished. Yeah, we might be in trouble here. But yeah.
You know, I was debating whether to bring that up at all. I was like, is this going to sound too mean? Like, am I piling on to the discourse? I'm trying not to do that, at least not intentionally, but hey, it's already out there in the open.
I mean, it's a talking point worth mentioning. The song is fine. Good bars from Mike, solid vocals from Emily, good riff, groove, and synth programming. It is, in the most complimentary way possible, a 6.5 out of 10 song, and that's okay.
Yeah, and yes, just got to piggyback off that point real quick. I kind of see it as like Judas Priest. Like, they don't need to tout every new album of theirs as like the new best thing ever. Because like, their legacy is pretty much secure at this point. And that's kind of how I feel about Linkin Park's general discography. Like, their classic albums are indisputable classics of the 2000s. Like no one's going to take that away from those records. I don't know how you could. They sold like a bajillion copies. And if you just... like, hey, we think the song is pretty good. You'll all like it. Like, again, perfectly fine. You don't gotta set up unrealistic expectations unless you're gonna, like, I don't know, really swerve into some new territory. But it is what it is. And speaking of 2000s new metal bands that have some vague connection to the anime landscape, there's a segue. So... obviously, we're, you know, at the end of March, beginning of April, which means we're transitioning out of the, I believe, the winter anime season into the spring anime season. And, you know, there's a decent amount to look forward to, including one we might bring up later. But, of course, one of the first major releases out of the gate this, pretty much the day after you're listening to this, probably April 3rd, is the new anime adaptation of Devil May Cry, which is had a very interesting promotional campaign. The opening theme is Limp Bizkit's Rollin'.
They used the wrong chorus, by the way. They should have used the first chorus, not the second chorus. Yes, there's a difference. I know.
They have various social media posts, including a Facebook post which said, quote, "This is his last resort." And now, right on the heels of the anime's official release, we have a brand new song tying into the production, courtesy of Evanescence. You know, maybe the anime will turn out good, maybe it'll turn out bad, but one thing I will 100% give credit for, this production absolutely knows who their audience is.
Yep.
They are 100% understanding the assignment. So, yeah. Evanescence. The new song is called Afterlife, and, actually, Alex, I don't know if you have any significant takes on this, because I feel like you know way more about Evanescence as a whole than I do.
I do, actually. The gist of this song is, it feels like this was crafted to be a lost B-side from The Open Door or the 2011 self-titled album. Very catchy chorus hook, gothic-infused orchestrations in the arrangement, moments where it's just Amy Lee's voice and some strings or synth programming. It is a far cry from the last album, which I wasn't a big fan of. Felt like it drifts a little too far away into a more of a contemporary radio rock style. But here, again, this sounds like it was meant to invoke like a lost track from like 2006 or 2007, just with the current lineup.
That's fair. I did like that part that kind of had like... like, the song as a whole does kind of have, like, the slow mid-tempo groove, and even a few instances of some particularly heavy guitar syncopations. Kind of detuned sounding, at least from my perspective. And I'm always down for a good detuned guitar syncopation. It's a motif of mine. But, yeah, who the hell knows what else they're going to whip out to appeal to the fucking 2000s nu metal crowd.
Now, just watch for a Jonathan Davis cameo.
Oh my god, they absolutely would.
Just like an OKKO.
Yeah. I kind of want to rewatch that show now. Well, okay, that... I also got to catch up with fucking Jellystone, because they just did their Cartoon Network crossover. But...
Yes. Yeah, that's a lot of things to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're on Max or not. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's on Max.
It's on somewhere, but... Speaking of Cartoon Network shows, this leads us into another show we're going to talk about right now.
Yes. Can I be straight this? Can I please?
Go ahead.
Sure.
So, as we mentioned, you know, MCU season is upon us. Well, it's almost here. And, of course, we can talk about one of the most anticipated series to come this month. In fact, it's coming Saturday/Sunday. Of course, we're talking about from director Shinji Watanabe, you know who he is, you know who he directed, Lazarus.
Finally! Early reviews are saying it's good.
Yes! Let me have this. Have we heard the proposals are good so far? It's like, good, it's fate.
We have suffered for 5 years! We deserve this!
Yes. And as you may know, the people who are doing the score to this anime, as listed, Washington, Floating Points, and Bonobo. And we got not one, not two, but three songs from them.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, they're really rolling out the promotion with the actual soundtrack is coming out April 11th. So, we're not going to have to wait too long for, you know, to have these tunes in our pockets.
Yeah. So the first song, the opening theme for it from Cross Washington, Vortex, which of course is very upbeat, like jazzy song. You got the saxophone and all, the way it begins, it just sounds so fucking great. I watched the full version with the song that's, you know, 6 minutes, and of course opening sequence, which is just, you know, a sequence of, you know, of, you know, a fall from the sky, which is like, oh, this is majestic. This should sound good. Like, man, this I'm really like, man, this is great. I'm loving this. Like, this sounds good. Like, man, it sounds amazing. I just love it.
Yeah, if you're deeply familiar with Kamasi Washington's style, then it's great and pretty much exactly the way you can expect from his albums, with the incredibly, like, elegant sense of melody, with its mix of, like, you know, the gorgeous string arrangements, the great choir vocals, and his incredibly soulful saxophone playing.
I concur.
Yeah,
this is a good one here.
Yeah, you can put that shit moving in your soul. Like, this is the shit right here. This is that good shit right here.
It's got what you need. Sweeping strings and choir with a funk groove in the drums and horns. This is, as some kids would say, a bop and a half.
Mm-hmm. And then, up next, we got the track from Floating Points, who, I'm going to be honest, I'm not that familiar with at all, at least not as much. Dexion. It sounds like a drug, because the visualizers, you know, pills and all that shit, which has this very, like, you know, like, very, like, weird, electronic dance type of beat. Like, I think people want to comment on the pages. It's like something you would hear at a nightclub in John Wick. Haha, get it?
Oh, yeah, didn't they actually get, like, one of the, like, I think it was, like, the director of that movie to help with, like, fight choreography and stuff?
Yep.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. And that one's a long ass track. It's like 9 minutes. Like 9 minutes. And all right, I gotta say, it feels like this one does sound good as well. Like it does get that more. This song, either I want to say it will use they use that to either talk about the drugs or talk about the drug that pimping out or any chase it, well not chasing but more like just investigating type of scene like that. I feel like they might use that music for that. Or some other thing, but yeah, this one sounds good as well. I can fuck with this.
Yeah, it's the momentum is definitely there. It's got like this great thumping percussive groove with a lot of really great use of synth melodies, with kind of like how it layers in all these different textures from like more drawn out sounds to a lot of the syncopated bleeps and blips. I checked out a couple of Floating Points projects earlier. I'm kind of working my way in order, so I'm kind of getting a sense for what their style is. There is kind of like that similar sort of ambience, and hell, their second album kind of has like jazzy drums and even some saxophones in a way that kind of sounds not dissimilar to some of Kamasi's stuff. It feels like way more electronic.
Hey, it's got a hypnotic club groove with low booming sub bass. What else do you need?
Yeah. And of course, the last one we got is from Bonobo, but it's featuring the singer Jacob Lusk, titled "Dark Will Fall." Which I want to say I think there might be the end credit theme to it. I don't know. It does sound like something you would hear of end credits. Like it does get some of that very smoky vocal delivery from Jacob Lusk, which is like okay, like it is like very different from the other two. Like it does sound like very like. I don't know how to put it. Like it does sound like very like. You know what? I can't think of a word for it, but like I said, that's different from the other two. Like it does sound like very like. I don't want to say ballad, but more like a. Something you would hear play on the last. I don't know.
The feelings.
Maybe I can help you here for a sec. Yeah. So, just for a bit of context, Jacob Lusk is an R&B gospel singer whose big like initial claim to prominence was fifth place in season 10 of American Idol.
Okay.
Yeah, and fitting up that description, like the track. I don't know what Bonobo's style is, but for the most part, the instrumental is kind of like this sort of. Low-key sort of twangy guitar instrumental, kind of like this bluesy lick, and most of the song is oriented around Jacob's vocals, up to and including having this really lush gospel vocal choir, accentuating his own performance, as well as a mix of strings and all that other kind of material. Funnily, I could see this being a closing theme, but also what I was kind of thinking was, does anybody remember Mugen's near-death scene in Champloo?
Yeah, you mean for the last episode or the one
in the middle, the one that had like that
elderly lady
singing.
It does have some parallel with that. I can see a parallel with that. Like okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
My thought was like if. I anticipate, so yeah, we got the OP, we got like, kind of like a general mood setting backing soundtrack piece, and this I feel like is going to, it sounds like a song that would come up because it's so vocally driven, pop up in the background of a scene that might be very dramatically similar, like kind of in a similar wheelhouse.
Well, I can tell you, the feelings that the music and arrangement invoke, melancholic... and nostalgic, all at the same time. Like you're lamenting over something that happened long ago. Makes for a good either insert song or ending theme, either way.
Hear, hear.
Yep.
So yeah, we just got a few more days.
Yeah.
Alright, that about does it for the new song discussion. Now to move on to the one news topic we have, and that is... a festival announcement. That is the lineup for the 2025 iteration of Outside Lands, taking place August 8th through 10th at the Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, California. And we got another one in the lineup of not very good festival posters, because it's just a bunch of names scattered about. The major headliners are there stuck in the middle, and then just kind of two random columns of bullshit. Mm. No real hierarchy. This is dumb. It's stupid. I do not like
your order, it. Your order's messed up.
You know what they say.
Why?
It don't matter. None of this matters.
Why is it so hard to have some basic visual hierarchy? Who do I gotta stab for that? For legal reasons, that's a joke.
And worst of all, they don't have no day-by-day thing like the others did. It's just this shit.
Yeah, so let's try and get through this. So I'm just going to start with the big column at the center, because those are obviously the big main headliners here. So your big headlining acts include the likes of Tyler, the Creator,
ooh,
Hozier, Doja Cat, John Summit,
ooh,
Anderson .Paak and the Free Nationals.
Hey!
Vampire Weekend.
Okay.
Glass and...
Go away!
Oh.
Gracie Abrams.
Jamie
XX.
Oh, okay.
Dochi. Nice.
Oh, okay.
And Gasoffelstein.
Him too.
Alright, now veering off to the left and the right of this, so your other acts on the lineup include the likes of Bleachers, Georgia Smith, Still Woozy, Thundercat,
hey,
Marina, Royale Otis, Phineas, no fur, Artemas, Claude Von Stroke. Oh, hey, look at that, floating point.
Oh, there you are.
Bakar, two Hollis. What happened to one Hollis? Levity, Bunt with a period.
Okay.
DJ Koze.
Oh.
Mark Ambor. Jessica Pratt. Claptone. Rebecca Black. Okay. Mayor Hawthorne. Notion. Kaseven Riel and Paco Amoroso. Big Freedia with the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. Van Sire. Luna Lee and Friends. Naomi Sharon. Nemino. Neil Francis. Wonder Horse. Lexa Gates. TXC, Arky Drive, The Army, The Navy, Midrift, Almost Monday, Nourished by Time, Black Party, Alexandra Savior, Alameda, Alex Amen, Infinite Jess, Avatari,
oh.
And then we move on to the column over on the right, where we start with Luda.
Okay.
Huh, I didn't even realize I was still doing music.
Yeah. You see his break between those. He's still doing the Fast and Furious movies, like, right? I mean,
probably.
It's the way for doing them, or I don't know, whenever they get the next one out.
Space. Anyway, we also have Black Coffee, Sammy Vergy, Wallows, Armin Hem...
Wait a minute.
I was gonna say...
Is that... Okay, is it that Hummer Hammer, or is it another Hummer Hammer?
You know what? I'm gonna look this up. Armin Hemmer. Nope, that is definitely not the Armin Hemmer we are thinking.
Oh. Okay. I guess they think that just enough to confuse people.
They are Joseph Chung and Joseph Abeya, a duo of musicians and DJs. So take that what you will. This ain't it, Chief. Role model, Big X the Plug, Flip Turn, Walker and Royce, Julian Baker and Torres, Fujikaze, Blonde-ish, Dombreski, Mannequin Pussy, DJP.Wee, Wasia Project.
This sounds like anime, guys. This is no way.
Yeah, Re-Wasia Project Rising. There's Julie, La Russell, Fuckers, spelled incorrectly, Clang Phonics, Girl Math, parentheses, Vanessa B2B Nala. I don't fucking know. Kate Bollinger, Hope Tala, Destroy Boys, Inji, Sarah Kinsley, Matt Champion, Atrip, Amelia Moore, Paco Versailles, Orla Gartland, Good Neighbors, Balti, Bay Ledges, DJ Mandy, New Dad, Vincent Lima, Midnight Generation, and Banksia. And then for some reason it says Vampire Weekend again at the bottom, whatever the fuck that means.
Something about Dolores Returns. I don't know what that means either.
We don't know things. Who's Dolores? But yeah, of course, that is another one of the festival announcements of all time. As always, a lot of who the fuck are you people? And complaining about graphic design sensibilities and lack of hierarchy. So, anyway, that pretty much about does it for that. Now we just got one last thing to move on here before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of April 4th, 2025. Starting right up at the top, we have the newest album from Pigs Times 7 with Death Hilarious. From death metal act Benediction, we have their new album Ravage of Empires. From Allegion, we have their new album The Ossuary Lens. And, oh hey, look at that! More new Boldy James!
Does this man ever sleep?
This time, it's a collaborative project with V Dawn titled Alphabet Highway.
So that's album number 6? I don't know.
He's already cleared the King Gizzard record, baby.
I think he meant another one in May. That's what I heard.
Then there's the new one from Sleigh Bells with Funky Becky Birthday Boy.
That's a title.
And last but not least, there's a collaborative project between Elton John and Brandi Carlile with Who Believes in Angels. Now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Still the usual places. Discord, other Discords, my other show, the Blue Place, and hopefully somewhere where I won't be sweating all night long because...
Mark, what about you?
As usual, Blue Sky Mental Media, and of course my site, MonHyperOneHyperDoubleQuest.com, where of course, as we mentioned, anime season, spring anime season, time of the season, brand new shit coming soon. So yeah.
Yep. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me Robert@SwearResolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and Olipop sponsorship offers. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Sewer Resolution. Visit the website, sewerresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord chat from there so you can talk up whatever's going on, and be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. Of course, that'll do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with the usual weekly shenanigans, and eventually with the album roundup for the month of March 2025. So, yeah, thank you for listening, and until then, I think Hayao Miyazaki should be legally allowed to strangle a bitch. Several times, in fact.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.